Welcome back to our live broadcast from the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pastor Rod Zwanitzer coming to you, and it's been our pleasure to interview a lot of people about their observations of this convention, and we're pleased to have a representative of the St. Louis Archdiocese and a faculty member of the seminary here, Dr. Larry Walsh, is that right?
Yes.
And also joining us is Dr. Al Culver, Director of Interchurch Relations. And so welcome, Larry, and we're glad to have you here, because our church needs to understand, too, that in what we would say these social societal issues, we stand arm in arm with our brothers and sisters over in the Roman Catholic Church. So much that we have today to work together on in these areas. And so we value your attendance here.
Well,
and
thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit more, even locally. You have some nice ties with our seminary and some of our people, as Dr. Culver here.
Yes. I teach at Kenrick Glennon Seminary. I have been there for about the past 19 years. And I had the wonderful opportunity to meet Dr. Jim Veltz. And we have had a dialogue between our two faculties, an ecumenical dialogue. We discuss a variety of issues facing both our churches, but also in Catholic theology, Lutheran theology, looking for points of convergence as Christians. And we meet at least twice a year. This past fall, we were very privileged to have 30 members of the faculty from Concordia for lectures and a dinner and a great spirited discussion afterwards. So it is one of, I would say, the most important dialogues that we have here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis with our other Christian brothers and sisters.
And Al, tell us and our audience a little bit about the what's been happening in this social public square arena that we as Lutherans really can embrace and work side by side with the Roman Catholic Church and others, and we have been talking and doing some things together. What in our theology and that, what's our stance on joining in these this public square with our brothers and sisters?
Well, I think as society becomes more hostile to the church, sometimes people say we live in a post-Christian society. I think we actually live in a post-Christian culture. The church is still here, but the culture itself is not as influenced and shaped by the church. So the culture naturally then becomes more antagonistic towards the church. And in many of these issues, we're finding that the Lutheran Church and the Roman Catholic Church are being confronted by the very same societal issues. We both believe in natural law, and I think there's near-perfect convergence in most areas of that.
And we've seen recently even a resurgence. I know our publishing house did a book on a reappraisal of the natural law, and you had a contributive essay to that, I believe.
Yes, indeed.
That's a great book. I just read that and interviewed Dr. Robert Baker on that. And so we thank God for that. And you know, I know in the past decades, the Pope has mentioned the things that are, really in our forefront of minds, Larry, ordination of women, the value of a society that really cares about life at from the very conception to the very end. And so, when they talk like that, Lutherans really reverberate in a positive way to that. And we thank God for that and join you where we can. So this is really nice that you've come among us and, we can talk and, there's so much that we have in common.
We do, yes.
Because it's our heritage as Lutherans.
Yes. I want to thank the Synod for inviting me as an observer. It's been very, very interesting. I've been here just since this morning, but I think you're exactly right. It's a great point of convergence is the defense of life. And we face the common problem together that in the past we haven't, of a really very strong, even militant secularism that would prefer to keep religion as something locked away, something that's private, something that has no real cash value in day-to-day life. And this is something that together as Christians we have to stand not only just against, but also to work again towards the public face of Christ in the world. One of the things that reverberated with me as a fellow Christian was one of the talks I heard this morning, with this emphasis upon mercy, with faith working through love, of how all Christians are called to be the face of the love of Christ in the world, and that together as Christians, we have to do this together in the areas where we can, and certainly the defense of innocent life, but also in some of the other areas as well, with regard to human beings that are threatened by conditions that really violate human dignity, whether those are just natural disasters or other various forms of things that would oppress human persons and so forth. That's very important for us together as Christians to make a public witness and stance that the love of Christ touches these people, and that we have to be Christ's hands, feet, and arms in today's world together.
You know, a couple of things that has been on my heart and mind recently that people have alerted me to is from a human trafficking that,
yes,
I just didn't realize how widespread it was, even in the United States, touched us. And so, you know, we have a campaign to that, and I'm sure we can, you know, agree on that together too. And I must tell you that my first call in service in the ministry was to small congregations in British Columbia, Canada. And there was a real strong Right to Life unit, and they were having a march on the regional hospital to plant crosses in the front to protest. And they asked me if I would join and lead it, and I said, absolutely. You know, it's not a worship service. And so I gladly did it, and I knew the Roman Catholic priest, and so he was a guitarist like I was, and we took our guitars and we were vested up, and we marched and led these people up to the hospital and sang and planted our crosses. And, you know, my people wondered, how could you do that with a Roman Catholic priest, Rod? And I said, well, in these issues, this issue is a life, we do join arms in arms,
yes,
to protest this violent slaughter that's going on, even in that country of Canada.
Yes, and, you know, I just share with you this story. At the initiative of one of the faculty members at Concordia, proposed to the faculty of Kenrick that could we give perhaps a witness to the gospel of life together before the Planned Parenthood Clinic here in St. Louis, dressed in our academic garb and so forth. And this was a couple of years ago. And we did that together as a faculty, just a quiet witness. And it was really a very, I think, important way in which the unity that does exist between us came to a very important concrete expression and a witness for Christ.
And the other one that I don't know, maybe you two can tell me, maybe I'm just not aware of this, but I had a prominent journalist who came on my book review program the other day and shared a great book on the persecution of Christians throughout the world.
Yes.
75% of all the persecutions, this work said, are Christians, and we know even Roman Catholics have been in the news with that recently, and how we might join together too to tell the world how much we protest and denounce that kind of treatment around the globe.
Yes.
And Lutherans surely detest that when Roman Catholic brothers and sisters are harmed in the name of Christ, and I'm sure if that was reversed the same way.
Absolutely.
So that persecution of Christians doesn't make the news a lot, secular news, and our people need to be aware of that.
Yes.
And so all those areas, Al, are ways that we can explore and work together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is certainly an area of religious liberty that we have our own issues with religious liberty here in the United States, which in fact President Harrison has worked together also with some bishops here in the United States, Archbishop Laurie from the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, but also that religious liberty is also an international issue as well.
And indeed, I mean, this is one of the most important issues facing us as a country, I believe, at the moment.
Is this religious freedom? And I remember the testimony before Congress, President Harrison was right next to the representative of the Bishops' Council. That was great.
It was. It was a wonderful Christian witness together.
Yeah. And, I think there was a rabbi there too as well, and I think another can't remember the other denomination of Christianity, but that's a strong sign. I mean, when you see that kind of a public display, and you know, telling the world too, and all of us, that we're not going to allow you to push us in the side of the public square. We have a right, because of the religious freedom of the founding of this country, to say what we do in the public squares, not just in our private little worship spaces, but together in the public square.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, obviously our big motivation too is the following of Christ, whose light we have to be in the world.
And I'm sure you might be aware that we've experienced really kind of a resurgence, led a lot by President Harrison when he was doing full-time mercy work for our church.
Yes.
And that has excited the people of God. And we look for more of that and more opportunities to do things with the Roman Catholics, to show the world that we do agree on a lot of these things, and we want them to know that we are together on this, and to raise their consciousness.
Yes, and actually our new Pope Francis has asked us in many ways to look upon what it means to be merciful. And to be merciful, and to work with other Christians as ambassadors of Christ's mercy.
And Al, I know with our, I don't have my pin on, but you do yours today. That mercy is a big part of our threefold emphasis as a church body, and so really vital to our life as Lutherans and as Christians in God's world.
Well, indeed. I mean, Jesus himself was merciful to people. We have to show mercy to one another, as in the book of James, when, you know, this is interesting, we're here with a systematic professor of the Roman Catholic Church, and we know that at the Reformation, one of the, ironically, you know, the Augsburg Confession quoted scriptures, then the Roman Catholic Church responded with the Confutation, which also quoted scriptures,
yes.
And then what does the Lutheran Church respond to in the Apology? We quote the Church Fathers. And one of the Bible passages that was at issue at the Reformation is the book of James, faith without works is dead. And I don't want to discuss the debate about that at the Reformation, but Bo Gerrits, the Swedish Lutheran bishop, had a neat interpretation of the book of James where he said, notice that passage right before it said, faith without works is dead. He said, go in peace. Well, in Greek, that's a quotation from the liturgy. That's the dismissal from the Mass, the dismissal from Holy Communion. And so now imagine you have these Jewish people who are in the diaspora, they're refugees. Think about refugees showing up in your church, or homeless people showing up. They're dirty, their clothes are tattered, they're hungry. And so now, here's the context for the book of James. You've just received Christ's body and blood. You've been bodied and blooded together. You confess that you're part of the body of Christ. And this poor person in tattered rags comes up to you and you say, be warm, be fed. And then James says, faith without works is dead. And the point is, you cannot have received Christ's body and blood and been joined together into the body of Christ and then find your fellow brother or sister in Christ in need and then say, just be warm and be fed.
I think this is a very important point. In fact, and at least the way that you've just expressed it is, in fact, a point of convergence. This is an emphasis that Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI emphasized, is the Church's social mission is rooted in the Eucharist and in the Church's worship. And I think on that point, as you've expressed it, we can be together.
Boy, Al, I like that because, you know, when I hear that depart in peace, that go in peace, I also know that that's shalom, going back to the original Old Testament language. The Hebrew means to go in his name, which means yes. Go into the name of love, the forgiveness of sins. And so how can we stand to see that person, that refugee, and just look the other way?
Exactly.
We have to address their needs, their bodily needs, their physical needs, as well as their spiritual needs. Because the whole Jesus was about the holistic person. And so you know, we're being, really encouraged to really go and do that in Jesus' name and look for opportunities to do it together as Christ's children, Larry. And so sounds like that we're kind of on the same page in a lot of that, right? Which is exciting to hear.
Yes, I think there's some convergence. I could just say amen to what you said.
Yeah, yeah. So we really appreciate and thank God that you're among us.
And I'm very happy to be.
It's really exciting for me to hear this new stuff that's going on between our seminary and yours.
Yes, we have a very good relationship.
And as you keep doing that, then let us know here at Worldwide KFUO. We'd like to spread that around. There's so many opportunities for that around the globe. And as we, depart in the peace of Jesus Christ, may it go with you.
And with you.
And with your people at the seminary. And hopefully we can talk to you again and hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing among you as well.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Culver and Dr. Walsh as well.
Thank you very much, Rod.
Go in peace.
Go in peace.
Go in peace.
And serve the Lord.
And serve the Lord.
Thank you so much.